Well, welcome everyone, and happy Easter. It's good to see everyone here. Pray with me.
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
dearest Mother,
beloved David,
saints and sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home. Be thou the only King. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Amen. Let's meditate together for a few minutes, putting our complete focus on the divine. That peace that you feel inside right now, that upliftment, that spark of joy, is exactly what this holiday is here to commemorate. So Easter, out of all the holidays in the Christian calendar, all the Sundays, all the days of worship, Easter is the greatest of them all. Christmas is the celebration of the seed of Christ in all of us. That firstborn, that seed of Christ that grows until this event, this day, the resurrection, the transition, the ascension of the human to the divine. It is a tremendous holiday. It is the greatest celebration. It's the celebration of the resurrection. And the word resurrection means to rise again, which implies that we go from the divine to the human and back to the divine. And that story is told so beautifully in the story of the Bible. In the crucifixion of Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus, and the resurrection the next day, where he had disappeared from the tomb and he had been resurrected and reappeared to his disciples in his holy form. So it's a tremendous story, and we have so many renditions and witnesses in the Bible that talk of it. So Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What's fascinating to me is that the week before, which is Palm Sunday, Christ comes into Jerusalem and he's at his very peak. He's at the height of his powers. He's at the height of his adoration by the populace, and he's recognized for being the Holy Spirit that he is. And that is very much like our situation. So as we ascend, as we worship, as we practice, as we become closer and closer and more one with God, we ascend. And we don't actually transition into the divine until we're at the absolute peak of our humanity. We're the best we have ever been. We're our best self when that transition starts to take place. And that's exactly what happened with Christ. He came to Jerusalem at the peak of his powers. And one week later, actually that Friday, that Thursday was tried. And that Friday he was crucified. And that crucifixion, as we know from our own divine teachings and our own line of gurus, is the crucifixion of the human, the crucifixion of the limited, the crucifixion of the small self-consciousness, and the ushering in of the God consciousness, the infinite expansion into the divine. So after Jesus was crucified, after he was resurrected, he appeared to his disciples. And we have a description of this in Matthew chapter 28, where it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. So when Jesus is saying that, he's talking to us. He's saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then Mother goes on to say, we had such incredible masters. Mother goes on to say, on this glorious Easter, this resurrection, I would like to think that each one of you has the love of God, which is so great that you are willing to give yourself to Him, to become His disciple, to be a witness for Him, and to go out and heal the sick and the blind, and to serve the poor and the rich alike, the humble and the high, and to see Him present in each form that comes before you. That's from Mother. And what Mother taught us is that Christ is the firstborn of all creatures. And that this innate desire that we have, that we're so fortunate to recognize, is actually an innate desire in all creatures. All things want to go to God. They might not recognize it as such, but they're all attracted to that divine energy and that upliftment. And what we know is that it's the end of all suffering. Not of challenges, we know that, but it's the end of suffering because we're with God. So I want to do a little something right now, and I want you to stand up with me. And sometimes we do healing ohms for others. And what we're really doing, we're sending out healing ohms, but we're really sending out God's healing light and energy. And knowing what we know, that every creature is seeking this divine essence, and especially within ourselves, I want us to send out healing ohms to all creatures, all humanity everywhere, to help in their progress to God, to find that inspiration, that spark of upliftment, and that ambition for the divine. Sending out that light of Christ. Sending out that light of God for the upliftment from the human to the divine. You can be seated. As we know, the sending of that energy builds that in ourselves. So as we give, so shall we receive. Mother Hamilton goes on to say, Christ is so beautiful. He is so filled with love, and He is within you. He is all around you. He is waiting for you to go to Him, to put your hand in His, to reach out to Him with all the love in your heart, to open all your doors, your windows, open them wide so that He can come in and He can be with you and you with Him, that you can realize what it means to have the full benefit of the bliss of His infinite radiant splendor and presence. This is the great promise. We, in particular, in this group, are so incredibly fortunate because we don't just have to go to the Bible and read about a story, a tremendous story, from 2,000 years ago. We had our own line of living gurus that we experienced, and they told us. Our beloved David says, what is worthy of more joy and wonder in all the world than birth into divine awareness? And David is one who knew. He goes on to say, material wealth and prestige come and go with the seasons of life. Youth, strength, and health can all fall by the wayside. What is permanent? The only thing that is lasting is your spiritual heritage, that you may realize in all its fullness, God made creation with fascinating, never-ending expressions. But all have an expiry date attached. Only God can fulfill that need we all have for the inner kingdom of heaven, promised from when the foundation of this universe was created. As you celebrate this sacred experience of the resurrection of Christ consciousness, think deeply upon its meaning. For each one of us, and make a determination that this symbolic day will find fulfillment in you. We are on a tremendous quest. It's the highest longing, it's the highest aspiration that a human being can aspire to. This meditation that we do, this prayer that we do, this beseeching of God to lift us up, that is that innate Christ seed in us, seeking that resurrection, seeking to rise again. And it's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens over time. As our consciousness is gradually changed with each meditation, with each prayer, with each time we put our mind on God, and we say, take me, Lord, lift me up, make me one with thee. That's the resurrection, and this is the journey, this is the path that we are on, and it's the holiest path that there is. So many times people say, what is the meaning of my life? What is my purpose? What am I even doing here? Sometimes it's difficult to find your way. Sometimes it's difficult to find your place in life. Sometimes it's difficult to find fulfilling work. But each and every one of us can put our mind on God and find that fulfillment, that perfect purpose, that guidance. In so doing, in putting our minds on God, it gives us purpose. And not just any purpose, not just a little job to do. It gives us the biggest job, the greatest job, the job that has the most power to influence not just ourselves, but those around us. And we can prove this to ourselves. The next time you're uplifted in meditation and you feel that presence of God, and you find yourself around others, you'll find that they change in their reaction to you. Little children want to throw their arms around you. Animals want to come up to you and be close to you, sit in your lap. People respond to you differently. They smile. Everything, every living creature, every sentient being wants to be around that power and that love. And that peace. When we experience it ourselves, we think there's nothing else I want. God, let me be with you in this state forevermore. Let me be by your side. And somehow or another, the mystery is we drift down the mountain, we drift back into the fog, and we say, what was that again? But God comes to our aid and keeps driving us, and keeps lifting us up, and we keep making that effort. As Lahiri Mayasaya said, striving, 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 one day the goal. And so that's how it is. But what the resurrection story tells us, what these chapters in the Bible tell us, what Christ's story tells us, is that it is possible, and it is doable. The promise is there for us, and we've seen it manifest in several great personages in our lives. We've seen it in the writings of Master. We've seen it in the writings and the speaking of Mother and those that have been around her and our beautiful David G. The power and the love and the compassion that he had for us. The way that he could listen to us and understand us. And the way that he was always admonishing us towards the goal. And these are ones that have been there and are there now. And they've done everything in their power, everything in their lives to help us, to uplift us, to send us towards God. And you can't help but feel tremendous gratitude. To be so thankful that they believe in us, that they think we can do it. And we get those assurances every day. So when we stumble and we fall carrying our own cross up the hill, and sometimes it seems like life's Romans are whipping us as we stumble, And yet we're enticed to carry on. We keep going. Because we know deep in our hearts, we know down the very core of our being that there's nothing else for us. There's no other way. We can stop and we can rest, but the journey we are on is one we're compelled to do. And we're very fortunate that we are. We're told and assured by the story in the Bible, by Christ's own story. We're assured by the saints and sages of all religions. We're assured by our own line of gurus, those we trust with our very lives, that the victory is assured. Just as Krishna told Arjuna, he says, your role is to join the battle, to be in the fray, to be in the fight, but the victory is assured. We can sense that every time we put our minds on God. Yes, we are like wandering sheep at times, like little children at times. We wander away, but we always hear the shepherd's call. We always come back because there's nothing else for us. There's nothing intuitively we know in this world that can provide us what we're really looking for. That complete satisfaction, that immersion, that upliftment, that complete peace that we feel when we have contact with God. So this is a special day indeed, and it is a day that's worthy of celebration. Everywhere and for all beings. Those of other religions or other paths, or those that even don't have a religion, they might not recognize it by name. They might not be able to identify it. But every living creature everywhere knows that inner desire for oneness with God. We're the fortunate ones because we recognize it. And we've been shown the way, and we've been shown the very best teachings, the very best techniques, the very best strategies. And now it's simply up to us to make the effort. That effort that Mother always admonished us to make. In the Bible it says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. We get to sample a little bit of that harvest every time we are uplifted in God. You know what's so wonderful about this path, what I've always so much appreciated, is we don't have to take anybody's word for it. We don't have to just take it on faith. We don't have to just read about it and hope and pray that that's how things turn out and that's the case. We get to go within ourselves and we get to find out firsthand what that contact with God feels like, what that upliftment feels like. How it changes our lives, how it guides our lives. You know, our lives are one big constant experiment. And the experiment really becomes, as we drift away from God, how does our life work? How is our experience? How is our demeanor? How is our outlook? And then as we drift and we make that effort and we come back to God and we become uplifted and we can feel that spirit inside of ourselves, now how does our life work? How does it feel? Sometimes we do that many, many times. In fact, most of us do in our lives. We go away, we come back, we go away, we come back. And finally, after many, many, many times, we realize that the only path for us, the only purpose really of us being here, is to realize our oneness with God. To be in that, to be immersed in that. So special, so delightful. You know, when you're lifted up in that feeling, it's hard to describe, it's hard to imagine. You know, when I was young, I was just a teenager, and I'd be meditating, And I would become lifted up. And I had my bedroom downstairs in the basement of our house. And, you know, I love my parents very much. And so I would go upstairs. I would sort of float up the stairs. You're in that state. And I would sit down and I would look at my mom and dad and I would say, you know, you guys, if I could give you anything, I would give you this feeling of upliftment with God. And my dad would smile at me very paternalistically and kind of humor me a little bit. And I could almost hear him thinking, you know, well, isn't that cute? But, you know, when you have this, you want to give it to everyone, and you especially want to give it to those you love. Now, for those of us in the room that are parents, you want the very best for your children. You want the best for them. You want them to have a good life. You want them to be happy. You want to shield them from pain and suffering as much as you possibly can. And so the greatest thing that you can wish for your own children is this awareness and this ambition towards God, this drive towards God, this draw. And I remember when I was, you know, meditating and I had little children at home and Cody would come out, my little boy, my youngest. He was maybe 4 years old and I would, he would come out to see me. You know, he was drawn to that God energy, that upliftment. And I would, gently take him under his arms and I would lift him up and I would sit him on my lap and I would show him how to cross his legs and how to put his little hands so they were facing up and he would meditate with me. Well, imagine my joy when a few years later he was in his little Spider-Man suit and I saw him out in front of the house sitting in the lotus posture meditating. I thought that is the greatest gift this little boy could possibly give to me, because I knew that anyone who is on this path, anyone who focuses their attention on God will be okay. Yeah, they might have trials and tribulations. They might have health problems. Who knows what comes our way? But when you have God to hang on to and latch on to, you'll be all right. You'll be okay. And we wish it for others. We want it for others. But, you know, we have precious little control over what others do. In fact, sometimes it appears we have precious little control over what we ourselves do. And yet we know what's good for us. And we still wander away. We still wander over here to take a look at this and check this out. So many interesting things in God's creation. So many fascinating things. But, you know, they all wear off. As our beautiful David said in his writing there, he said, they all have an expiry date. And if the thing itself doesn't go away, then our interest in it goes away. He said, oh, yes, I did that last year. But what doesn't go away is our fascination with God. It always comes back. It's always renewed. It's ever new. Always sprouting, always green sprouts. You know, I think it's so fascinating that Easter comes in the spring. Isn't it perfect, the timing of it? I couldn't quite figure Easter out, you know, because it's on a different Sunday every year. They call it a movable feast. And it comes on the first Sunday after the new moon, following the vernal equinox. Now, I'm going to test you on this later, so you better remember. But it comes in the spring. It always comes after the vernal equinox, the spring equinox. And it's when a time when flowers are starting to come up and little green shoots in the earth. It's a time we can look out before us and we can see the renewal of the earth. You know, the little animals are having babies. There's little bunnies bouncing around and beautiful things. And this is symbolic of this renewal within us. Well, you know, it doesn't just happen one time. Every time you wander away from God and you come back, that's that renewal. That's that springtime within yourself. And it is quite tremendous. We're so thankful for spring. After a long, dark winter with storms and cold and sleet and snow. We're so happy to see the spring. We're so happy to see the sun come behind the cloud. And just so it is within ourselves. When we've gone through a tough time, many times it's because we've forgotten God for a little while and our consciousness has drifted lower. We can't figure out why we're sad, why we're heavy, why things are kind of tough. And then that sun comes behind a cloud, from out behind the cloud, and we remember, oh, that's right. God. We remember what we've been told. We run towards God. We run towards that upliftment. That's that renewal. That's that spring. That's that Easter within us. It happens over and over and over in our lives. We get closer. We get more filled with God. We get more filled with the divine. And you know, the storms and shrieks and howls of this earth don't have quite the same impact on us anymore. Sure, there's disappointments. Sure, there's things that happen, the ups and the downs. But the more we hold to God, the more we're uplifted in that spirit, the less those things have the ability to rock our little boat. As we always point that boat towards the North Star, towards God, towards upliftment, peace, love, sympathy, empathy, towards that upliftment that is everything. God is the everything. Sometimes people ask me to explain God, you know, or what is my idea of God? And, you know, that's a tough one. People hear this word and they have their own connotations. They have their own ideas. And sometimes, some cases, they're not so positive. So people say, they say, well, what is God? And I say, well, God is the everything. God is the everything. God is the upliftment, the spark of life. God is the cool and cool. You find something really neat that you've never seen before. You're amazed at how this works. You go, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. You run back and you tell your friend. You tell your spouse. You tell your kids. Look at this. This thing is so cool. God is that. God is the cool and cool. God is the upliftment, the blessing, the everything. God is our friends, the sparkle in someone's eye, that life energy, that life force. If you want everything, if you really want everything, go to God. That's where everything resides. That's where everything lives. Sometimes I feel like it's the greatest secret in the world. The greatest secret, even though so many have talked about it, but the world goes about apparently not knowing. And you know, you can be so uplifted and you can try and tell someone and they say, oh yeah, yeah, you know, that religious stuff, I've heard that before. And you feel like just grabbing them and shaking them by the lapels and going, no, no, you don't understand. This is real. This happens right here and right now. People want to change their lives. They want their lives to be better. And if you want to change your life, if you want your life to be better than you could ever possibly imagine, go to God. You know, sometimes I think that I've seen just a tiny, tiny little smattering of what God is, just the tiniest portion, and I'm in awe. I can't believe it. And then I listen to Mother, and I read David's writings, and I listen to David, and Mother in particular, you know, she talks about the grandness, the tremendous quality of God, the expansiveness, how it's beyond our comprehension. And I say, Mother, I trust you. I know that's true, but I want to experience what you've experienced. I want to live in that. Talk about having a big life. You can have the biggest life in the universe and never leave your little room. I sort of get a kick out of it when I hear about what people want to do. You know, I ask people sometimes, well, no, you're going to retire next year. What are you going to do? Or somebody comes into a lot of money and I say, oh, gosh, you know, when you have all this means, when you have this available to you, what are you going to do? And the answer almost invariably comes back, I'm going to travel. I'm going to travel. I'm going to see the world. Now, what that person really means, took me a long time to figure this out. What they really mean is they want expansion. They want to see it all. They want a bigger life. And I used to be like that. I thought the great expansion was out in the world. And then I realized one day that the greatest expansiveness, the bigness, the everything is in that God contact. The remarkable thing is we never have to leave our meditation chair. Now, God may have us do that. He may have us go out into the world and do incredible things. He sent Mother all over the world. He sent Papa all over the world. But it's not necessary. The expansion, the greatness, the great universe is right within us and remarkably available to us. All for the asking, all for the effort of it, all for the seeking of it. True treasure, the greatest treasure that has ever been seen. So this is the promise of Easter. This is the promise of the resurrection. We see it all around us at this time of year. We see the new growth, the buds, the rebirth of the earth. But most of all, we can see it in ourselves. Bless you on this Easter. May today and every day see you further in your path towards God. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence.
I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.